بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we have reached verse number 79. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. Then woe to those who write the book with their own hands and then say, this is from Allah, to purchase with it a little price. Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for that they earn thereby. Still, the address is concerning the children of Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, then woe. Woe is a threat. Waylun, this is a threat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens those who are described by these qualities. And concerning the book, this is in reference to the Torah. This is in reference to the Torah, which is in their hands. And the meaning is that they write it with their own hands. Thus, they know that what they are writing is not the revealed texts, or are not the revealed texts. So therefore they indulge in this evil crime knowingly. Then they say, meaning after they wrote these alterations with their hands, knowing that it is their hands that did it, they say this is from Allah, meaning it was sent down from Allah. In order to gain something cheap for a little price, and this little price is leadership, prestige, wealth, and so forth from the matters of this life. And the matters and the affairs of this life are really nothing. Few compared, say short is the enjoyment of this world. The hereafter is far better for him who fears Allah, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly, even equal to a fatila, which is a skullish thread in the long slit of a date stone. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with him is the perfect reward. So no matter what is attained in this life from wealth and prestige and leadership and so forth is short in enjoyment with respect to the hereafter, as came in the authentic hadith reported by Imam Ahmad as well as by Al-Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لموضع صوت في الجنة خير من الدنيا وما فيها. And a place in paradise as small as that occupied by the whip of one of you is better than the world and whatsoever is on its surface. So this life from its beginning, this worldly life, to its end, with its prestige and wealth and palaces and buildings and everything that's therein, compare all of this and compare the place that is occupied by a whip, which is almost 1 meter So short indeed is the enjoyment of this life. So there is now a threat to them for what they wrote, and then they attributed that to Allah concerning the alterations they did in the Torah, and also woe to them for that which they have earned, even the earning. There's a threat concerning this unlawful means of earning the benefits. Number one, the threat for those who write the book with their hands, then they say that this is from Allah while they lie. Secondly, the second benefit, that they do this seeking wealth, prestige, and the like. And there is a warning for those who seek knowledge, intending by that a worldly gain. And from the points of benefit is benefit number three, that this world no matter how it is or it reaches from vastness and you name it, then it is really short in its enjoyment, as stated by Allah in the previous verse of 477. And from the points of benefit is that the recompense is related to the type of action done, because Allah here said in the threat, woe to them because of what their hands had written. And from the benefits is affirming the causes, because Allah said مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, that which their hands have written. So this is the reason for asserting that the threat is for asserting the mentioning of the threat here, because they did this evil crime. And from the points of benefit is that the punishment of saying about Allah without knowledge also encompasses the action itself and the earning, the unlawful earning gained through such a process. So whatever unlawful earning is attained, then man is held sinful and blameworthy for that. Take for example someone who does an unlawful deed like cheating. So he is sinful for cheating, and the earning attained through the cheating also he is held sinful for that. Now to the next three verses, 80, 81, 82, and let's take 80. Verse 80, قال الله عز وجل, in verse 80 of Surah Al-Baqarah, وقالوا لن تمسنا النار إلا أياما معدودة قل أتخذتم عند الله عهدا فلن يخلف الله عهده أم تقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون. They, the Jews, said, the fire, meaning hellfire, on the day of resurrection shall not touch us but for a few numbered days. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, have you taken a covenant from Allah so that Allah will not break his covenant? Or is it that you say of Allah what you know not? So who said this? The Jews said they will, you know, fire will not touch them except for a few days. Then they said that the Prophet and the believers will dwell therein forever after them. In response, we say, attesting that you will be touched by the fire is accepted, while your claim that you will exit the fire of hell is a claim which is baseless, having no proof whatsoever. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَتَّخَذْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا. What makes you say this? Did you finish a covenant or take a covenant from Allah that the fire will not touch you except for a few days? Then afterwards the Prophet and the believers will replace you in the fire of hell forever. Such an exclamation is for denunciation, denouncing their saying. فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدًا. Because if Allah gives a covenant, He's not going to break it. But what makes you so sure that Allah gave you such a covenant so that He doesn't break it? Subhanallah. Then comes the other form of denunciation. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Or is it that you say of Allah what you know not? So the meaning here, rather you are saying, here it means, rather you are saying of Allah what you know not. And also it could mean, did you take a covenant with Allah and claim that, or that you say of Allah what you know not? On either way, they are saying of Allah what they know not. So if they don't have a covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal, and they had said of Allah that which they knew not, therefore their claim is false and futile. Rather, however, Allah answers in the next verse 81, بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Rather, yes, whosoever earns evil and his sin has surrounded him, they are dwellers of the fire hell, and they will dwell therein forever. Surrounded, the sin surrounded him, yani just like a wall. Surrounding him from all sides. And then here said, خطيئة, meaning his sin. Here Allah said, whoever earns sayyi'ah. Let's talk about this a little bit. Sayyi'ah. And أحاطت به خطيئته, and his خطيئة surrounds him. It is said that the سيئة and خطيئة means the same thing. And that the سيئة, which means the wrongdoing or the sin, gradually extended and surrounded him from all sides. This is one meaning. The other is, the سيئة here, it refers to الكفر, disbelief, and الخطيئة, the lesser كفر, what is less than كفر rather. This is what the people of Tafsir had said concerning the difference between سيئة and خطيئة. Allah said, let's have the verse again please, those are then the dwellers of the fire of hell forever. They are the dwellers of the fire of hell, they will dwell then forever. In comparison, in the next verse, Allah brings the case of the believers. In contrast, and this is so often mentioned in the Quran, as we'll explain, and those who believe in Tawheed and do righteous good deeds, they are the dwellers of paradise, they will dwell therein forever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. So when Allah mentioned the destiny and the final abode of the disbelievers, then he mentioned the final abode of the believers. Why? So that the slave of Allah moves on two fronts in his journey to Allah, on fear and hope. Between fear and hope, between these two matters, the fear and hope. And Allah has described the eloquency of the Quran, describing the Quran as mathani, resembling each other in goodness. As to those who believe, it refers to those who attested and affirmed the faith with acceptance and with submission. Such that faith is not sheer attestation, but rather there must be acceptance of it, acknowledging it, submitting to it, and complying with it, fulfilling what it entails. This is the true iman. This is the true faith. Then Allah said, not concerning them, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believed, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and acted righteously, did the righteous deeds. Because action testifies for the truthfulness of the saying. As well as the saying of the tongue, or the utterance of the tongue, is based on the conviction of the heart and the actions of the limbs. Those qualified with these qualities, أولئك أصحاب الجنة, they are the dwellers of paradise, who will stay there and dwell there forever. And Al-Jannah, the definition of Al-Jannah, paradise, is the abode which Allah had prepared for the pious. And therein, as the Messenger ﷺ described, no eye had ever seen, no ear had ever heard, and never came on the thought of a human. As Allah mentioned concerning it in Surah Al-Sajda 32 verse 17, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْرِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. The benefits of these verses. Number one, the Jews attest to the hereafter, and that there is fire, because they said that the fire will not touch them except for a few days. However, this attestation is of no avail to them. It doesn't benefit them because they belied Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore they are not believers. Secondly, they said of Allah that which they knew not, either belying or due to ignorance. And belying is more close to the truth. Thirdly, the good way of argument in the Quran, the eloquent way of presenting things. Look at this. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused the issue between two things, and both of them are negated. Let's have the verse. اتخذتم عند الله عهدا. Did you have a covenant with Allah? And such therefore Allah will never break His covenant, His promise. Or you say of Allah that which you know not. So it's there between these two things. Have you taken a covenant from Allah so that Allah will not break His covenant? Or is it that you say of Allah what you know not? You can't escape it. It's either this or that. This is in accordance with the meaning of the verse which we discussed earlier. Have you taken a covenant from Allah? Or you say of Allah that which you know not, in accordance with this meaning, then the eloquent way of presenting the cases in the Quran is evident here, limiting the claim to either one of the two matters. From the points of benefit is, number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never breaks His covenant. And this in itself comprises two attributes: truthfulness and ability. Because breaking the covenant could be either due to lying or to incapacity, helplessness. So the fact that Allah does not break His covenant necessitates his perfect truthfulness and his perfect ability. The fifth point of benefit, that it is from the habit of the Jews that they say of Allah that which they know not. And saying of Allah comprises the following matters: saying of Allah regarding His rulings and judgments, or regarding His essence, or regarding His attributes. So, whoever says that which he does not know, whoever says of Allah that which he doesn't know, that he, Allah, made this lawful or this unlawful or made this obligatory, then in this case he spoke of Allah that which he didn't know concerning these rulings. And anyone who affirms to Allah anything from his names and attributes or attributes which Allah did not affirm for himself, then he has said of Allah that which he knew not of. And anyone who negates anything from the names and attributes of Allah, then he said of Allah that which he does not know or did not know. And anyone who directs the obviously understood meaning of the texts to other than their apparent meaning without any evidence, then he had said of Allah that which he did not know. The sixth point of benefit, it is unlawful to make fatwa without knowledge. And that's why the mufti, the one who issues religious verdicts, should fear Allah and not hasten to do so, because the matter is very serious. And from the points of benefit is that reward and punishment is not dependent upon one's lineage or belonging to such and such family or society or tribe, but rather it is dependent upon the action. From the points of benefit is, anyone who earns evil however is not surrounded by his sin, then he is not from the dwellers of hellfire, meaning forever. However, if he had committed sins, then he may be punished in accordance with the sins he committed, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive him. And from the points of benefit is, the one whose sins surround him from all sides and such that he doesn't have any good whatsoever, then he is from the people of the fire of hell who will dwell therein forever. From the points of benefits, the affirmation of the fire of hell and that it is the abode of the disbelievers, and that their dwelling therein is forever, punishment is not to be lightened upon them. And Allah stated clearly their dwelling therein forever in three places in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa 4:168-169, and in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:64-65, and in Surah Al-Jinn 72:23. These are the evidences therein, so please make note of them. And from the benefits of these verses, that the people of paradise, the dwellers of paradise, are those who established, are the ones who established faith and righteous deeds. And righteous deeds are not considered righteous except when two things are fulfilled: al-ikhlasu lillahi azza wa jal, sincerity. These deeds are done sincerely and purely for Allah. And second, the following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the evidence for this is in the hadith al-Qudsi, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, I am the one who stand free from having partners. Anyone who does an act committing shirk therein, or set a partner, therewith, I will leave him and his shirk. So this hadith stands to prove that such a person did not have the pure and sincere intentions when he sets up rivals besides Allah in his action. This is one proof. The other proof is concerning the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Anyone who does an action which is not in accordance with our way will have it rejected. And the hadith is in Bukhari. Similarly, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in Sahih Bukhari as well, فَأَيُّمَا شَرْطْ كَانَ لَيْسَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مِئَةَ شَرْطْ. Any condition which is not set in the book of Allah, then it is futile, even if it would be 100 conditions. And the 13th point of benefit is that faith alone is not enough to admit people to paradise. Rather, there must be righteous deeds. And 14th, and this is very important, that the actions alone are not enough as long as they are done based upon faith. Because Allah said, آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات, believed and did righteous deeds. That's why the hypocrites did not benefit from their deeds, because they had no faith in their hearts. And from the points of benefit is the eloquency of the Quran and its excellence in teaching, such that when the people of the fire of hell were mentioned, Allah mentioned the people of the paradise. And this is part of the meaning of the verse in Surah Az-Zumar 39:23, Allahu nazzala ahsana al-hadith kitaban mutashabihan mathani. Allahu nazzala, Allah has sent down the best statement, a book, the Quran, its parts resembling each other in goodness. and truth. Oft repeated, the skins of those who fear their Lord shiver from it when they recite it or hear it. And from the points of benefit, the affirmation of paradise, and that the dwellers of paradise will stay therein forever. And the evidence for this is explicit in many verses in the Noble Quran. I ask Allah the Most High to forgive us and to save us from the fire of hell and to admit us to paradise by His mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of tafsir of these verses, and we have covered tonight from 79 all the way to 82. Alhamdulillah.